You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Dogs. We didn't have a fan intro today. Kenny Mack was actually in Cleveland for the game, you know, so he probably didn't get a chance to do one. And everybody else must just been too depressed after our win is what I'm going to say. So we need more fan intros, so head to thedogspodcast.com, tap leave voicemail in the drop-down menu. You got about a week left for Kenny Mack's Movember campaign. You can still buy shirts. We're going to donate 100% of the proceeds from those shirts to Kenny Mack. You'll find the merch link in the drop-down menu at thedogspodcast.com, or we usually pin the link to that on the YouTube episode. So if you just want to go straight to his link and donate and you don't want a shirt, just head there and donate. We're trying to help him hit his goal. He's a great guy and he deserves it. You know, the Browns, they got to win this week. You know, it wasn't pretty, but they got to win. Before we get into it, though, remember to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can also find us on TikTok. If you prefer to just listen to episodes, check us out on Apple, Spotify, and Google. You know, you can also find us on Patreon. I didn't type this out today, so I'm just kind of
you're doing pretty good, pulling from memory.
Yeah. You know, check us out at jointhedogs.com if you're looking for more content. Patreon page is really fun for everybody. They kind of get their takes in to us throughout the week. Like today, we messaged them and asked them what they wanted to hear about on the show or on the after hours, and they told us what they want us to talk about. So you kind of get more input on the show. We're looking for more ways to beef it up. We got fantasy leagues going on in there. Winners of those leagues are going to get Brown Dogs merch. You get basically 24/7 access to our phones because we got a group thread going on. So we're always talking Browns. If you're a comic book nerd, we talk comic books a lot. We pretty much talk about just about anything in there. It's really fun. So if you're looking for that kind of thing, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member.
In the doghouse.
Listen, let me say something to you as a friend. You suck.
So we're going to start with what went wrong this week. You know, like I said, we did win. So before we get into what went wrong, I think we do need to say we're 6-5. We control our own destiny. And even though it's not going the way we wanted and it's been ugly, there is a lot of 6-4, 6-5 teams out there this year. It's been a very weird NFL season. So again, we don't want to, it's not that we're not ungrateful to be 6-5 and still control our own destiny. It's just, you know, we have to look and see, is what we're doing so far going to get us to where we want to go? So I just wanted to, before we just like talk
disclaimer,
about, yeah, like before we understand we're 6-5 yes. And the whole season's still in front of us, but there's things we got to clean up
big time,
because the Lions have played people tough, but I thought coming into this game, it was going to be kind of like the Bengals game. I was just expecting maybe more the Bears game. I thought the defense was going to just completely like shut them down to the point where they had negative yards.
Yeah.
And then I thought we would just almost have a more of an offensive game, kind of like the Bengals, where we were just gashing them for 30 yards, a pop, and just, I thought we were going to score 30 plus in this game.
Well, it was just me and you on the show last week, and I think that's kind of what we harped on the whole time was, you know, let's put up big points, let's not do any turnovers, let's shut them out, or, you know, keep them from scoring a whole lot of points, which we were able to do that part. But I'd like to get Zach, Justin, you guys, because you're back.
Yeah.
Yo.
Welcome back to the table.
Hey.
What's going on? I know what it was like to be back.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the game going into it, it was kind of the same thought that you guys mentioned in the episode of that we thought the defense would be able to control them because the Lions offensively, they have literally no weapons other than DeAndre Swift.
Yeah. TJ Hawkinson.
And TJ Hawkinson, yeah. But, you know, at the wide receiver position, we were talking about how early in the year, Kadarius Hodge was a great signing for them. We love Hodge in Cleveland, but that shouldn't be a great signing for your wide receiver core either.
Can you name? We just played the Lions.
No.
Can you name a receiver?
No. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah. Okay. Khalif Raymond.
If they weren't here, yeah. I would have forgot.
Williams. Yeah. Williams got cut already, right?
Yeah. Tyrell Williams. He's got out because he wasn't ever playing. He was always hurt.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be their number one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know, the development throughout the week happens. Jared Goff doesn't play. And then you're thinking, you know, okay, there's no way they're going to be able to do anything.
Right.
With Tim Boyle, who? I don't even know. I mean,
how he's on an NFL team.
Yes. When you look at his stats, even back when he was in college.
One touchdown in 25 games at UConn, 13 picks.
Somebody saw something special in that kid, all right? Put some respect on his name.
I don't know who he knows in the NFL. He's in somehow.
Who blows?
It's not.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
He's based on his NFL talent, which he showed again on Sunday.
Yep.
Offensively, you know, I thought after the New England loss, we would kind of turn things around. We ran the ball all right and that time, you know, in this game, but I thought everything was going to gel pretty easily against the Lions, and it just kind of wasn't the case. What do you think, Justin?
So going into it, I kind of was on the same page with you guys. The more that I saw what the game was going to be like as far as weather, we were kind of all talking back and forth. I'm like, this is going to be just two run games, just whose offensive line is better, you know, who's going to take it to the other team, which defense is going to show up. So there was some of that, and thank God we have Nick Chubb. I mean, thank God that we have Nick Chubb, because it was very disappointing at times as far as offensively.
I feel like Nick Chubb almost like single-handedly won that game on offense.
I truly believe he did.
In the line.
I mean, at one point in the game, the fans were chanting his name to give him the football towards the end of the game. I mean, Nick Chubb, you know, kudos to him, because there's times like that where one player can, you know, win you a game, and he was that guy for us. Because could you imagine if we were talking about how we lost to the Lions?
Dude. Oh, my God. So the first point I put in here under what went wrong is, what is wrong with the offense? How do we fix it? Can it be fixed? And can this offense get us to where we want to go? To put things in perspective for the offense, we have scored less than 17. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of our last 6 and 6 of our last 8, I think, or 9. We've scored less than 17 points. Some of those are 13, 16, 10.
Ugh.
I mean, the offense is atrocious.
What? That's just crazy. I mean, last year they were one of the highest, you know, scoring offenses in the league. I mean, it was at least, 23 plus most of the time.
And you can see, too, if you look at we scored 33 week one or 29 week one. We scored 31 week two. We scored 26 week three. And it just keeps getting lower. And then we exploded for 42 against the Chargers, which we saw against the Steelers. Their defense kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, they give up points.
It was supposed to be good, but it's not that great. I think we can't throw the ball. We cannot throw the ball. And people screaming, run the ball, run the ball. We ran it more and we threw it.
Yeah. How many carries does Nick Chubb have?
22.
22? That's unusually high for him.
Yes.
Now, I know Kareem Hunt's not here. Kareem,
but it's still.
But, I mean, you would think that they would offset more than 5 carries to D'Ernest Johnson. I mean, I think the coaching staff was like, just put it in Nick Chubb's hands. We can't lose this game.
Correct.
I think that, you know, an interesting thing about the offense, though, and there was times they tried to get Felton involved too, but ever since Kareem Hunt got injured, we were always like thinking, oh, well, you know, D'Ernest Johnson's going to step right into that role. We really don't have to change anything. I feel like we haven't had that type of the wrinkle to the offense of those Kareem Hunt set plays going to somebody else. It's like we were just like, that package is strictly Kareem's. We don't give that to anybody else type of a thing.
I mean, stylistically, they're like almost like night and day. You know what I mean? As far as Kareem Hunt, I feel like he would just run through a brick wall. Johnson's, you know, a hard runner too, but there's a little bit more finesse to it.
I think it's obvious we're missing Kareem Hunt. To play devil's advocate, though, you shouldn't need two top five running backs on your team to be good.
No.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's nice to have that.
It's nice, but you shouldn't need the best offensive line and two of the top, at least top 10, probably running backs in the league.
To
score points on your team.
I for me, I would say having two of the top 10, you know, talented running backs in the league on your team is a luxury.
Yes.
Not a necessity to win. I agree with what you're saying.
Yes.
Exactly.
You would think then if we have that, and other teams know we have that, that the passing game would be wide open and thrive. And it's not. I mean, it is. The passing game is almost non-existent. We make fun of Tim Boyle, okay? And he was bad. He wasn't that much worse than what our passing game was.
Not? I mean, about 100 yards difference if you're just going to go that direction, but effectiveness?
Yeah,
not much different.
The thing that
put up like, 10, we only put up 13.
I mean, we're always going to talk about Baker and his level of play, and you know, and you're going to have fans that are with Baker that are saying, you know, it's injuries and it's this, and they're going to have the reasons to defend him. Then you got like the people that are going to hardcore defend him till the end because they've gone through it with the whole quarterback situation. They're just like, no, I'm not going to give up on this guy. And they're just going to hold on to that. Then you got the middle group right now that's kind of was the defenders. And now they're just like, it's getting really hard to keep defending him week after week after week. You know, you got that middle group. Then you got the group that's just like, done. Let's move on. Let's get rid of him. You got three groups right now. Okay. So, but if we do take a look now, I do put a lot of it on Baker. I personally, in my opinion, put a lot of it on Stefanski. But then if you kind of look at things, our wide receiver core really isn't any good either.
Now it's not, but.
But and I know that, you're going to say about getting rid of Odell and doing all that, but I don't think that Odell was elevating our wide receiver core either. But if you look at
being wide open all the time,
you can watch seniors' videos of him being wide
PFF,
open all the time.
PFF open over 70% of the time.
If you look at our wide receiver core,
just what it is, what it is.
I mean, Jamarcus Bradley is one of our leading receivers on the day against the Lions. You just talked about not knowing anybody in the Lions. If I said Jamarcus Bradley was going to be one of our top wide receivers in this game, you'd probably thought I was crazy.
No, it was definitely a blow to the offense to last minute lose DPJ and last minute lose Schwartz.
Yeah.
Even though we've talked all year that Schwartz isn't that great.
He was at high hopes, had a like, I'm not going to say a high ceiling, but you knew that he was like a one trick pony, but you figured like with Stefanski's play calling, you would get him involved in a way, and it just hasn't been the case. And it's like we constantly are talking and being like, why is this guy in the field? We were like, we can't wait to see this guy stretch the field and be that Tyreek Hill type gadget of just take the top off the defense, and he's not that guy at least not yet.
Right. I think that's fair.
Before we get, I don't want to go too hard into Baker because there's a couple things we want to talk, and then we have a voicemail to play about Baker from one of our Patreon members, and then we'll go hardcore into that. So, because I got opinions.
I got some stuff too.
But you would think, you know, coming into this game, even with missing some of those guys, I just thought we have three tight ends who I would consider at least. So they're not elite, I wouldn't say, but they're above average.
No, but I would say our tight end core, those three guys are better than most teams' tight end group.
Yes, and I think any one of our three tight ends, if you were to cut them today, would get picked up and probably start or play a lot of snaps on any other team. Yeah. So I think as a group, they're very solid. I wouldn't say any of them are elite, but they're all, I think, above average. Or at least flirting with average to above average. And then we had our safety net in Jarvis. you know, and then we had Nick Chubb who was running the ball for 6 yards a run. So I just really thought the offense was going to be better than what it was.
Does anybody else, and this kind of goes to what, you know, Zach was saying a little bit ago, but does anybody else think Jarvis maybe looks like he's lost his step out there? He's not exactly the same player he used to be.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's 100% healthy and, you know, and you're going to get that in the end. Nobody is at, you know, this point.
Right.
Especially if you're an older veteran guy, which Jarvis is getting a little boy. You know, he's not
28, 29.
Yeah, he's not young anymore. You know, it's not bouncing back from an injury. Oh, hey, it kept me out a week. I'm full go the next week. Probably lingers a little bit more for him. I think there's frustration setting in for him as well that affects his performance a little bit.
Call me crazy. On his touchdown run, I thought he looked explosive. When he made the decision to run, he outran everybody.
Right.
He looked faster than everybody. So to me, I don't know, he looks fine to me the last couple weeks. But to me, this game, he looked better than he had looked the last couple weeks.
I think that they look to definitely get him more involved after the story, you know, that I forget if it was Mary Gay came out and said he wanted more, be more involved. He didn't know why. What? And then, I mean, I think he had 8 or 9 targets or something like
eight targets. We only caught 4 for 26.
Which Blake will tell you that's a Jarvis game. Four catches.
I know that's what
I'm 30 yards.
That's what I'm saying.
So what do we need to do to fix it?
I think we probably need to play this voicemail if we're going to go down that rabbit hole.
All right. Well, before we get into that, then, one thing I want to address in what went wrong 100% is the penalties again.
Yeah.
Oh. 10 penalties for 82 yards. And I get penalties happen in football, you know, holdings. It's pre-snap penalties are killing us. I know we had 3 offsides on defense again at one point. How hard is it to watch the ball?
You sound like LeVar Arrington.
Watch the ball. Yeah, watch the ball. I don't understand how hard that is. I don't see any other team that has this problem. When we watch, it's not like when the Browns opponents come into Cleveland, they're getting 5 false starts a game. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, let me pull it up real quick and see what it was. Penalties, we had 10 for 82.
Yeah.
They were 7 for 67. So we were worse.
And we keep hearing every week, like, the penalties got to stop, but they're not stopping.
Mm-mm.
Get it figured out. It's ridiculous. I don't treat them like they're 7 if you have to. Put a ball on a stick, you know, and say hut and don't move the ball. And if they jump, make a run a lap. I don't care what you got to do. Figure it out. Because it is so annoying, and it's killing the defense.
Can I ask you guys a crazy question?
With
all the extra stuff that's kind of going on as far as with the team and just over the last couple of weeks, do you think that Stefanski still kind of has control of the locker room? Or is it kind of just, me and Blake were talking about on the way over, it's loose. It's a bunch of, he said it was just a bunch of guys. Look at me, guys.
We don't feel like a team to me. What's his face on Cleveland Browns Daily said we're front runners. And when it's going good, everybody's into it and we steamroll people. But as soon as like that one thing goes bad, it snowballs into disaster.
Well, I mean, what was that last week of the week? When was that when Miles came out and was saying about we're not, you know, coaches aren't making adjustments when we that need was to?
Just this past week.
So
yeah, right before this game.
Yeah.
When you're not doing things that you think you should do, you start looking for who to blame. And I really think the defensive players are not in on Joe Woods' system.
I agree with that.
It doesn't look like it. And then offensively, I think a lot of skill guys are tired of like not getting the ball. At some point, Jarvis can be a great teammate and awesome, but at some point, like, we're affecting his livelihood. You know what I mean? Like, he's got more football in his career he wants to play. We're not giving him the ball ever. And then when you're not, to make it even worse, then when you're losing to teams you shouldn't lose to, or you're not scoring points against the Lions, and you didn't get the ball that often, then it's going to compound it and make it even worse. So, Stefanski's like walking a tightrope trying to keep it together. It's like, it feels like if we get blown out against Baltimore, it's going to go off the rails.
And that goes right into the bye.
Yeah, so you know it's going to be 2 weeks of hearing that stuff.
So, right. You know, in my head, if we're going to have this conversation about what Justin, you know, the question you brought up, I had a conversation with, I think it was Blake in a different text thread that we have, and we were talking about, you know, Stefanski being the head coach, you know, it's almost like him tying his season to playing Baker instead of making the authoritative decision saying, hey, no, we're going to sit you. We're going to go with Case. We're making that decision. You're not healthy. Well, you can sell it as that. I don't care what the doctors say. I'm saying the better option is this.
The doctors are clearing him.
I know, but that doesn't matter to me. I mean, if I
it
can
does,
see
because
that
one, if the doctors
it doesn't matter.
If the doctors clear you and Baker's in the public eye saying I'm healthy enough to play, and then he sits you for Case Keenum, it's over.
No,
it's okay. Over. It's full-blown QB controversy in the media.
But you have one right now anyway.
You don't. Nobody's really calling.
How do you
calling,
not? Because you got a bunch of people. You're one that say get rid of Baker right now no matter what.
No, after the season.
Okay, but I just don't. What if it means losing your locker room for the rest of the season? Now you lose guys that don't want to come back next year because you tied your wagon. You tied your wagon to Baker.
What Mayfield. What if you sit Baker?
Okay.
The doctors are telling you he's okay, and he's telling you he's okay.
Okay, but
and I then see you sit it, Baker, and we lose, and we lose.
Okay.
Now what? You go back to him? You can't.
I'm not saying that I go back to him, but I'm saying if I am a coach of a football team and I see that my quarterback cannot, if I'm hindering my playbook, can't get guys open, and I'm hearing players are getting upset, you got to do something. You can't do the exact same thing. No, Baker says he's healthy. We're just going to roll Baker out and throw for 150 yards again and then have the same guys complain. The next day, right after, say, I'm not getting targets. I'm not getting the ball. I need to be involved more. Coaches aren't making any adjustments. We don't know that Miles' thing is just based defensively either. I mean, Miles is like one of the leaders of the entire team. Just because he came out and said coaches aren't making adjustments, that doesn't always have to just mean the defensive side of the ball. I think that there is definitely a frustration level building, like Justin said, in the locker room that is going to affect not just the Baker decision at the end of the year, but there's going to be guys feeling a certain way towards Stefanski too, that like, hey, you earned all of our trust, coach of the year. Everybody thinks you're great. Even though we played the easiest schedule at the end of the year and Baker gets, you know, awarded for that. You know, everybody liked it. And now everybody's like, oh, it was the easiest schedule. That's why he went off. Those are easy games for Stefanski to win too, to win coach of the year. And now you're going to have guys that might be like, oh, hold on a second. What was that? I think that there's going to be guys that think that way too.
So this is exactly why, like, was that? Well, last week we talked. I after Baker had that knee injury where he didn't look good and everything, but then they said, oh, he's probably okay or whatever. I wish they would have just said 3-week IR. That would have been such a simple. He might not have liked it, but tough crap. You know what I mean? They should
and
have
then
just
you couldn't bring
exactly.
Back.
Then he's automatically out for three games. That would have been the Lions game. Case could have beat the Lions obviously because Baker didn't. And then the Ravens game is going to go the way it's going to go. And then we'd have the bye week,
which we might end up having a decent chance because they're going to have to play Huntley most likely.
Can you put a player on AR who's being medically cleared by doctors?
Well, I don't know.
And
I don't know.
Telling
all the,
you he's healthy to play. Then you put him, you think Baker's not going to then come to the media and say something stupid because that's all he does.
I think that there's times though. Yeah. Which that's something else that we have to get into.
Yes.
But I do think that there are times that even though somebody may be medically cleared to play, they aren't healthy. Like you can be medically cleared to play and still
not. I don't
not
know whose
healthy.
Decision that is to go to,
I mean,
the IR. I don't know if that is like the medical staff and like they have to approve it, or like if the coaching staff can just say this, we're putting this player on the IR.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Or call me crazy. Maybe they don't believe that the injuries are why he's not playing bad.
Possibly.
Like, I'm pretty sure Baker said, you know, the throws I'm missing in the game, I'm making in practice. So maybe he keeps playing because it's not the injury.
I don't know. That's just my, watch him, I don't think he looks okay though on Sundays. Like, you can say that you thought he looked okay late in that game and shouldn't have been taken out. I mean, the guy was limping around. Could barely walk.
I watched him this game, though, running like bootlegs. He looked fine. And then.
I know. I'm saying, though, late in that game, would you have stuck with Baker late in that game?
This one or the one before?
No, this one. This one. Not the New England game. Forget about it. I don't even want to think about that game.
I'd have pulled him after a second pick. His injury had nothing to do with his pick. He threw it right to the guy.
Yeah, but see, like in my eyes, I feel like, and I know it's just different because it's the NFL and you got money on the line and you got all these different things. But in my eyes, I'm playing the better guy. That's just, that's the way I would be.
So you think Case is the better guy?
If Baker isn't 100% healthy, and I see that all week long, and Case is the guy, and Case is
healthy.
But
they're saying in practice he's making those throws, he's making those plays.
Well, I'm not at practice. I wouldn't be able to tell you if he's making those
throws. You know what I mean?
That's hard for me to speculate saying that in practice he's making these throws.
I'm just saying if you sit him and then Case loses, you can't go back. If you sit him, it's done. It's done. You can't go back to him.
If you don't sit him, it might be done anyway. So are you trying to win this year, or are you okay with losing the rest of the season, just being like, hope we get somebody next year. If not, we got to bring Baker back.
And here's the thing. I don't think you sit Baker now, because why?
Well, here,
We're still winning the games that we would win, and we're losing the games that we would have lose if Case played.
Let's play this voicemail from Derek, because it's going to kick off that conversation.
Okay.
All right, guys, this is Derek. I had a question, and I don't know if this is just me being a beaten down, depressed Browns fan or not, but I think we should just sit Baker the rest of the year. I think where we're at right now in the season, the only chance we do anything is to sweep the rest of the division. And if you think that Joe Woods' defense is going to sweep Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens twice, I think you're crazy. Not that I'm not hoping for that, obviously, as a Browns fan, but if we're being realistic, I don't think that's going to happen. So going forward, you know, we talk about Baker and what are we going to do with him. I think you just sit him, let him get the surgery, let him get healthy, go into next year, new defensive coordinator, get more weapons at wide receiver, and then see what you got. You know, Baker's got the fifth year left. But if the Browns can get better options at quarterback, I think they need to do that. But I think at this point, we're not going to get a fair assessment of Baker going forward. And I think the season's a wash. What do you guys think about that? Am I just a depressed Browns fan? I think we all are, but maybe me more than others. I don't know. Let me know your thoughts.
So I don't think you can come in next year with Baker as the only viable option quarterback on your team. If he's still on this team next year, there's somebody that we brought in to compete with him.
Yeah,
because I'm not doing this again. Another year of he's good, no, he's bad, he's good, no, he's. I'm not doing it again. 4 years is enough. Fit over like by the end of this season, because if or even right now he's played what 55 games, that's enough. I'm not doing it for a whole nother season. I'm not wasting another year of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt for this. I'm tired of this.
We always talk about that window. And the Browns, we feel like they're in it, but I do agree with we talked about earlier. Agree with Derek. Receiving options, that's not good right now. But the running game is. I think the receiving options we have are good enough to complement the running game we have. If we had a quarterback that could elevate those guys a little bit, maybe hit them when they're open. I don't know.
And so say we bring them back next year with no competition, and we got to bolster the receiving core. How much does the guy need? You know what I mean? Like, how much does he need? He has to have Jarvis, three above average tight ends, and an elite number one, and the two of the top 10 running backs, and the best offensive line in football just to be six. I mean, come on. At what point does he elevate anybody and quit getting carried?
Are our tight ends as good as what we think they are, or are they just because there are options that we have to throw the ball to? I mean, we're a year away or removed from thinking that we were just going to cut ties with Njoku and just cut him and get rid of him. And then like Harrison Bryant last year, we weren't thrilled with him. He didn't step up to the levels we thought he was going to be. I agree. You shouldn't have to go out. Allen Lazard and Valdez Scantling and guys like that aren't elite wide receivers.
No.
They have Devontae Adams. He's elite.
He's elite, yeah.
Okay. The other guys, not so much. Now, there are teams that have elite wide receivers and stuff like that to help them out, help quarterbacks out. I don't think, I mean, you can only have so much as a team, too. We've prided, this team isn't built to throw for 400 yards like Kansas City or Buffalo, but they're not also built to run for 200 yards a game either. You know, we have a great run offensive line. Yeah, they're good in pass block too, but they're a run. Wyatt Teller is built for getting downfield and cracking heads.
Yep.
Not pass protection. Okay. That's kind of his, that's what our line's built for. And we've shown that's what we want to keep. We just signed Nick Chubb. That's what we want to keep. So I think that the organization knows that. I don't know if they are buying into, they need that, a Patrick Mahomes type QB that's going to throw the ball 50 times a game. And to answer Derek's question, I don't know if you sit him for the rest of the year and you're just like, ah, we're done with him. I'm not saying that when I gave my opinion on, if I saw that Baker wasn't healthy and I said, hey, you got to sit a week and get healthy like we did for the Denver thing, then that's the decision I would make. Case isn't the long-term option. I think we all agree on that. Yep. He's not the long-term option. I don't know if there's many guys out there in the NFL for next season that are going to be that option. The rookie draft class coming up, you may draft somebody and like get that surprise type of a QB, but we missed last year's draft where there was five taken in the first round or something crazy like that. So you're not going to get anybody that steps in and is like, oh, he's the guy. He's Trevor Lawrence. He's Mac Jones. You know, he's Zach Wilson type talent that came out and was going to start right away. So I agree we got to bring somebody in to try to compete. Blake, earlier in the week, you mentioned like a Tannehill, Marcus Mariota type of a situation. Tannehill came in, got the job, and then they ended up getting rid of Mariota that season. So something like that I could see happening. But I don't know. I mean, and Derek said the season's a wash. It's not. It's not a wash.
No.
We're 6-5. This NFL season is a season like no other. Okay.
The Chiefs are 6-4.
The Titans, I mean, I think if you go back to a couple, like one of our first 2 weeks or something, we were like, Titans are done. They're done for, you know, their window's over. That's when they still had Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Okay. They were the one seed coming into this week, and then they got beat by under sub 500 team. Who'd they, Texans, right?
Yeah. Yep. Houston.
Texans beat them. And then
they're missing so many guys right now, though.
And then the Colts beat Buffalo. Buffalo, the new team to beat. Josh Allen MVP after the first couple weeks. They look lost.
Yep.
You know, so this, I know we got to play the Ravens twice, and then we have the Packers down the schedule, but the Raiders are so up and down. I don't believe in them. Wow. I don't believe in them. And the Ravens, if they got to play Huntley this week and not Lamar Jackson, that's a totally different team. We just saw, I mean, took heroics to beat Matt Nagy and the Bears. Nagy's probably losing his job, they're saying, after Thursday. Thanksgiving, you know, and then you got the Packers. Okay. Probably one of the best teams. And then you got the Steelers and the Bengals. I mean,
you think you're going to go into Pittsburgh and beat Pittsburgh though?
I don't know.
Couldn't do it at home.
No, nope.
I don't know. It depends. Steelers aren't healthy right now either, you know? So I think that for anybody, any fans out there that are like, season's over. It's not like, have things been going right now? No, but it's not over.
No, it's not over, but I did anybody think this was the conversation we wanted to have going into the first Ravens game? This week was supposed to be like, okay, we've had a pretty decent first half of the season. We're picking things up. We're rolling. These are going to be two great games against the Ravens. We're not in that position right now.
I'm pretty sure in our schedule overview, I had us going into this game and losing for only like our second or third loss.
Yeah. Well, all right.
Shame on us.
Yeah, big time. So let me throw this out here. I don't know if anybody else saw this, but I saw this on Twitter the other day. According to Pro Football Focus, the Browns have the NFL's single lowest catchable pass rate on targets to wide receivers deemed open or wide open. So if a receiver is considered to be open or wide open, we have the lowest catchable pass rate. That means the passes are absolutely abhorrent.
Yep. That doesn't shock me at all. Hey,
that was Odell's fault, though. That was Odell's fault. I also heard today that he's like 25th in the league in passer rating from a clean pocket. He's 26th in the league in completion percentage, 27th in the league in yards per game, 23rd in the league in touchdowns, and 22nd in the league in passer rating.
These are all this year's stats.
Yes.
Yeah. I was listening to another podcast today, and they were just kind of recapping some games, and they were talking about the other night, and they were bashing Daniel Jones because he only had a QBR of 15.4. And I looked, and Baker had 8.6. Against the Lions, and Daniel Jones at least got to play the Buccaneers.
And like I told Justin, his floor is just too low for me. His floor is like a cellar, a basement.
It's bad.
He has so many games. Like, his bad games are that. Yeah. Are eight.
Eight.
You know what I mean? I mean, I feel like that's not like the first time he's had a game. And I said good quarterbacks can have a bad game every once
in
a while.
Sure, they all do.
But you can't have four of them a year.
Not at eight.
And it can't always be like against the good teams. I mean, tell me like a big signature win against a top tier team that Baker has.
I mean, you're 15 of 29, so you're basically
the playoff game.
50%.
I was going to say, hey, Pittsburgh.
The game against the Lions, so he's about 50%, only 176 yards, 6 yards on average, 1 touchdown, 2 picks. 2 picks? Come on. And they were, can we talk about the picks?
Yes.
Can we just talk about them? Because I think everybody, let's just do our collective throw up together, because that's what they were. That first pick.
Should have been touchdown.
Touchdown. I mean, a competent quarterback, a decent, Tim Boyle probably makes that throw.
He doesn't, because we saw that also. He does not make
that. They didn't have anybody that open.
No.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying though, Jarvis shook that defender. I mean, that guy didn't know where Jarvis was going. Jarvis was straight to the end zone. All you had to do is put it on him, anywhere close to him. A little behind him, he still catches it and takes it.
What's crazy to me, too, is so people will blame the injury. Well, he's injured, so that's why he missed that throw. Bullshit. You can bleep it out. second.
Great.
Second. The second interception, did he hurt his eyes? Because he threw it right to the Lions guy.
Yeah.
He threw it right to him. And it's just, can we all agree now that, like, This whole, it was Odell's fault. That was just a total scapegoat BS thing, because now I've now seen what, 3 games without him, 2 games, and he's been trash.
Let's put it this way. Last year, that's why I was making that argument, because of the way the season played out. But this year, yeah, I mean, I can't argue that anymore, because I've seen enough. Like, I've seen what I need to see, and it's not good. It's not good.
So this kind of goes back to DF's voicemail too. Like, for me, this might be unpopular with Browns fans, and this is crazy, but I kind of think if it is injuries that are causing inconsistencies in his play or whatever, shut him down. You have him for a 5th year. Shut him down. Let him get healthy. I agree. Bring somebody in to compete. There's got to be some type of competition. It can't be
a Case Keenum. Yeah.
You got to think that he's going to play his heart out, because he's literally in a contract year. This is it. If he sits down, this is it for him. Well, his 5th year could be it for him. I mean, he's probably good enough to go to another team maybe and be a backup guy.
Right. Yeah. At this point though, like, all right, so whether he finishes out the year on the bench and doesn't play anymore, or he finishes out and starts every game for the rest of the season, which one has a worse effect on his future? Because the way he's playing,
long term, he might destroy his long term future.
Yeah, he's playing himself out of any sort of contract.
I'm talking just health wise.
Yeah,
I mean, like, if he takes a shot in the leg and his leg's already banged up and his knee blows out, that might be it.
Well, that's true too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult thing. And I think the reason Stefanski has a difficult time is because he knows that he has no other good option. Everybody thought, oh, you know, Case Keenum coming in, he was this guy in Minnesota. And then we saw Case Keenum and we're like, he really isn't good either.
He's good enough to, he can get you, keep you in some games. If right. Baker was going to be out for a long term.
I feel like I would go with Case if I knew that my playbook opened up and I didn't have to hinder myself of, we got to always have 3 tight ends on the field and we can only ever have 1 wide receiver. And, if that was the case, See there, that little pun.
That was a nice play, dog. Case. Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I stole that from Adam Mackey, actually.
Oh, wow.
I think that it's an interesting point, Josh. I don't know the answer. Which is better? You sit them and you shut them down for the year, and then you do it like Justin's saying, hey, this is your year to prove it. You're get 100% healthy. Because yeah.
And if he comes out and he's that guy that we've seen, then we know there's he's probably not playing.
Right,
if he comes out and plays like that in training camp and stuff like that, he's probably not playing anymore.
How quickly life can change.
Absolutely.
10 weeks ago we were talking after that Kansas City game. We thought we didn't blame Baker for that game. Baker did everything he could in that game for us to win.
Our punter.
And the Chiefs defense wasn't obviously good. And we can say, oh, they only scored points because the Chiefs defense sucked and all that type of stuff. But Baker played really good in that game. And our offense looked good. Everything looked good. We're talking, man, he really wants that contract. You know, hopefully we don't got to talk about that all year long, when he's going to get signed. Now we're talking about, well,
cutting or trading him.
Yeah. 10 weeks.
It's crazy.
Just over two months later, it just, you know, all summer long, we were like, is the deal going to get done? Yeah. Deal going to get done? Who's going to get paid first?
I do think the injury, I mean, because let's put it this way. Even though the schedule last year, the back half of the season wasn't the most difficult, it's still NFL football, and he wasn't anywhere. I mean, he didn't look like this Baker at all. This Baker is pitiful out there. So I do think the injury is playing a role, but it's his fault for not addressing that and at least trying to get healthy. I think he's putting the team in a bad situation.
Absolutely.
He said he wouldn't play if he thought it was hurting the team.
Yeah,
liar.
I think he truly does, but he believes that he gives the team the best chance to win. I mean, because that's a competitor mentality. I get that. I think
in his head, that's what he's thinking. And Blake will tell you he's thinking that way because he knows, like, hey, I might not get that chance again.
Yeah, he's the writing on the wall.
Which there's a lot of guys.
No, I don't disagree at all.
There's a lot of guys that have that mentality. You know, I think Blake or somebody mentioned on the show, you know, Tom Brady would do stupid stuff in practice, be like, oh, hey, no, you're not getting this rep, because and go take one more, you know, just to be like, hey, no.
Let him know. Yeah, this is my team.
Right. So there's guys that have that, but I think more guys would respect Baker's decision to say, hey, guys, you know.
I gave it all, but
I can't. And, you know, this is killing me. I can't even step up to make a throw.
I think everybody would look at the film and go, yeah, we know.
Yeah, Jarvis would probably be like, man, I've been waiting for you to say that since I got hurt back in week 4.
It seems like the injuries only come up when he plays bad. Nobody talked about his shoulder after the Bengals game or after the Chargers
game. But I think we talked about that he didn't look great in that game.
The Chargers game?
No, I'm saying the Bengals game.
You know what I mean? Oh, go read the YouTube comments.
Well, I'm saying that I don't think that we came out and we were like, Baker's back. And I didn't feel that way.
Definitely what we're establishing, though, for certain is we don't know what exactly the problem is, but there is definitely a problem.
Yeah.
It is this up and down train ride we're on sucks. We can't keep doing this.
And it's a decision either way you look at it, it's the decision the Browns can't afford to get wrong.
Right.
Either way, you get rid of him, can't get it wrong, because you don't know if whoever you bring in is going to be what if Baker goes somewhere else, blows up, he's a franchise quarterback when he gets the chance, you know, he goes, competes, and then we're like, we just got rid of that.
Oh, no matter what happens. Guy,
we got rid of it. Now, and you keep him, and then you pay him, and then people are like, he was the reason we never won.
Yeah, you get more of this.
We were ready. We were, our team was ready, and we signed him, and now we ruined our window.
Yep.
To ask Justin this, if Baker got hurt preseason, didn't play a single game this year, and Case started all 11 games, what do you think our record would be? I think it would be 6-5.
Honestly, it might even be like 7-4. Do you think?
I think
about the Steelers game? We should have won that game just a little bit more, just a little bit, and we win that game.
So I'll say I think we have the same record. I think we lose the same games we lose. We win the same games we win.
That's fair.
So guess what? I'm not afraid to get rid of him and tank because we play somebody else, because he's not adding value anyways. So what do you, what these people who are saying, if we get rid of Baker, we're going to be 2-14. Why? If we didn't play him this year, we would still be 6-5.
I think there's a fear of, as a Cleveland Browns fan, that you don't want to live the last 20 years all over again.
Okay. All the quarterbacks in the last 20 years have come to the Browns in awful situations. No coaching, no talent. Look at DeShone Kizer, who he had to play with. He played with Hugh Jackson as his coach. The one of the worst lines in football. No wide receivers, no running backs, no talent anywhere. Any quarterback you bring into this, Case Keenum would be 6-5 with this team.
Yeah, no,
so
I agree.
I'm not afraid to get rid of him.
I think a quarterback coming into this situation, and then you flip the side of the ball, get a different defensive coordinator. I don't think you really got to shake up the personnel that much. I mean, I think our defensive roster is really good. The scheme sucks. The coaching sucks. We've been saying that forever. I think you're right that you could bring in another quarterback. It would not be the same situation as it was the last 20 years.
Because we're not asking any quarterback that comes in. We're just asking whatever quarterback that we bring in to please throw it to Jarvis Landry when he is wide open and to not throw it over his head by 15 feet.
Right, yeah.
That's all we're asking you
to do. We're no longer saying, come save our franchise. We're saying, come complete passes.
Yes.
That's it. Just please.
Okay,
don't have the lowest catch rate in the NFL of guys who are wide open. That's all we want you to do. Can you just be average, please?
What are we? What would we be talking about right now if the Browns don't shoot themselves in the foot in two games and we're sitting at 8-3, tied for first?
We'd be like,
tied for first in the AFC.
No worries.
If we win the Chiefs game and we beat the Chargers, two games that.
We'll get this thing figured out. We'll get it figured out.
Two games we definitely could have won, but also two games that Baker had the chance to go win and he lost.
No, I think that even
if the scored 42 points and
no, I agree. But he had a
chance. I get that
Brett Hundley just led like a game-winning drive.
Yeah, against the Bears, the team we beat by 20.
The Chargers just gave up a ton of points to the Steelers.
I understand. Defense got to get stops too.
I don't think a couple wins the other direction on the record. I mean, say the games went exactly the way they did, but just the other team missed a field goal and we ended up winning or whatever, however those played out. Baker's play has still shown everybody that it's not good. Like, it doesn't, the record could be better, but still your eyeballs are going to see the field and say, what is happening out there?
Yeah. It's, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not worried. I don't think the team goes into shambles if we don't have them.
No, and that's why I said put them on the 3-week IR, because there's this stretch of Lions, Ravens, bye week was going to play out probably the same no matter who's playing quarterback. So, I don't know.
It'll be interesting. Play better this week, Baker.
7-5.
Play better this week. Don't say anything to the fans and just talk to the media after the game. You got to take your bumps.
If you guys are interested in what we think of Baker after the game, not talking, what he then did come and say to the media, and also what his wife posted on Instagram, subscribe to the Patreon. That's what we're going to talk about today. And it's going to be good. So if you're interested in those takes, come check that out. $5. come check it out.
I say coffee costs more than that nowadays. Yeah. So, and you probably get that at least, what, 2-3 times a week.
Right.
Join the Patreon.
Yeah. So before we get into what went wrong, I got one.
What went right?
What went right?
I was going to say, like, Jesus, what have we been doing for the last hour?
Trust me, don't worry.
My God.
There's not a ton that went right. We scored 13 points. So, you know, hang tight.
It'll be over quick.
So. Yeah. Before we get into that, though, remember to check out Symbol. Head to symbol.com/dogs, DAWGS. Play the stock market for sports. You're going to get on there, use our code, get $10 free, plus your deposit is 100% refundable up to $500 for the first 90 days. You get in, you check it out, you buy some stock, you don't like it, you lose all your money, it crashes, whatever. You send the guys in Symbol an email, they refund your money. 100%, no questions asked. So check it out. A couple ways to win. You buy shares of teams. As their stock price goes up, you're making money. Also, if they win, for every share you have, you get an instant cash payout. So the more money you put in, I mean, I think it's like 50 cents a win, which doesn't sound like a lot, but if you have 1,000 shares of the Browns and they win, you just made $500. I think. I'm not very good at math, but let's just assume I'm right.
$500 sounds awesome.
We usually do.
So, but yeah, check them out. Also, to everybody who's in the Pick 3 leagues, I know the last 2 weeks they haven't had the games up. We've been in contact with them. If you've been on there, you know they changed their website interface. They cleaned it up a little bit. Well, when they did that, it caused the Pick 3 leagues to kind of go haywire. They're having some issues getting them back online. They did say the Browns jersey's still in play. They should have it fixed by this week. So make sure you check it out. Make your picks this week. Browns jersey's still in play. So we apologize for that. They apologize for that, but they're working on it. They're just having some technical issues. So head to symbol.com/dogs, DAWGS. Play the stock market for sports.
And this Thanksgiving, which is only a couple days, be thankful for family, food, and free bets. DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. They have a Turkey Day no-brainer you can't miss. New customers can bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get on the Thanksgiving NFL action in the normal DraftKings app, which I'm going to be because I love DraftKings. You make your first deposit, and then you can play free for millions with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game, and you can win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code TPPN this Thanksgiving at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Dogs off the leash.
I do need to change that.
All right. So what went right? We're hit on this real quick before we wrap it up. Obviously, you got to talk about the run game. The offensive line was good again. We had no pass game, and they knew it, and we still ran the ball down their throats to ice the game out. That was huge. Nick Chubb was awesome again.
Yep.
God bless Nick Chubb.
Yep.
I mean, he's seriously... He's so good.
Thanksgiving's coming up. Just make sure you say quick thanks for Nick Chubb.
Yes. To whatever God it is you pray to.
That's right.
Defense played well. I know they gave up the long run to Swift, but turns out DeAndre Swift is a good football player too.
Yes.
And they get paid to play this game. You're going to give up some plays every now and then. You just got to limit them. And I thought we did. I expected it to be slightly more dominant, and maybe it was stats-wise, but I was expecting more Bears. Where it was just like, holy cow, This looks like we're playing a JV team. It wasn't quite to that level of dominance. Still forced 2 picks out of Tim Boyle and pretty much shut him down. DeAndre Swift had a good game, but other than that, that was it. Which is what you should do against a team where you literally don't know any of their receivers.
Right. They were 3 of 11 on third down. I mean, that's an issue that the Browns have had pretty much all season, is just giving up third down. So it was good to see them get out there and limit that this week. I hesitate to give too much credit to the defense this week, though they played well. But, man, that is a terrible Lions team with a quarterback. No one even knew who he was before Sunday, and we're still not sure who he is either. Just kind of rolling through some stats here. I mean, they only ran 46 plays, 245 yards. They did average 5.3 a play, which is same as us.
Yeah, how crazy is that?
Yeah.
Tim Boyle led an offense that had the same amount of yards per play as our team.
That's a testament to how good Nick Chubb was to get that average up, because the passing game wasn't pushing that average up.
No.
So.
I mean, I thought Anthony Walker had a good game. I think he's finally, first couple weeks we were a little like, hey, this guy was really talked about being the guy, like we finally got a really good line, and he's showing that at the linebacker position a little bit.
It doesn't help too that he came in, he was new, and then he got hurt.
Right, yeah. So, you know, he's finally playing better. Denzel Ward, I thought, had a good game finally, because, I mean, I've been a critic of his kind of the season about he hadn't been the best. It felt like, you know, teams were going after him a little bit more now that we had Newsom on the other side, but he had a great game, I thought. So
he's played
I was going to say he's putting some games together.
I thought Greedy Williams played well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he did. Yep. He did. Mm-hmm.
Greedy's been a pleasant surprise this year, despite the ups and downs of the defense.
Yep.
I think Greedy's been a really pleasant surprise. There's been games where he's been out there and you can tell it, he is like gassed and he's still just like giving, you know what I mean? Like if we're going to, you know, yeah. People give Baker credit for playing hurt. There were games this year where we were down to basically Greedy at corner and you could tell he was gassed and tired and banged up and he's still out there giving it. And he's actually playing at a good level.
Maybe this is some recency bias and you guys can correct me, but I feel like Greedy's kind of been our most consistent cornerback this year. I feel like Newsom's been up and down. You know, he's had some really good games. He's a rookie. And I feel like Denzel's been like, he's had some really, really high level games, but he's also had some games where it's like not that special.
I'll say this about that. He plays less snaps. So when you're out there less, you know, you don't have to do it at such a high level for so many plays. It's like Jordan Clarkson.
Well, exactly. That's like awesome, Greedy doesn't have the elite games, but he doesn't have these like, oh, get him off the field. He sucks today games. Like,
yes,
when he's out there, he's doing well.
No. So, there wasn't a ton of good in this game. Like I said,
we ran
the ball well. We won.
Don't forget, we did win this game.
I saw a stat. This is the first or the sixth time since 1999 that the Browns are over 500 through 11 games.
God bless.
So, right. Like we said,
don't panic.
As annoying and frustrating as the game was and how ugly it was, you know, the Lions have forced teams into ugly games this year at times, and we somehow won. Now, we'll see if we can capitalize on it and go on a run. I don't know if we will. Seems like Derek doesn't think we will. but, you know, we're going to see. We are 6-5. We still control our own destiny. Mm-hmm. Easiest way of the playoffs is to win the division. We still have, what, 4 division games left?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, I mean, you win those games, you're probably in the playoffs.
Kind of a guy, I was just looking him up on the defensive end. Any news ever about Jacob Phillips ever returning?
No.
You know, to the team? Because I know back in preseason and stuff, or before the season when he got hurt, it was like November, he'll be back kind of ready to go.
Well, I forgot he existed.
Yeah.
Somebody. I mean, he was a guy that we were expecting, you know, hey, and at the end of last year, like at the beginning, we were like, why'd we draft this guy? Then at the end of the year, we're like, he's our best linebacker.
Yeah.
And then going into this season, we're like, okay, well, you had Phillips and you got Walker now, and you were like, oh, okay, we're going to put something together. We haven't got to see it.
No.
So, I mean, he's a forgotten guy. You know?
And you just can't find anything.
Yeah, the mentioning the Greedy.
Yeah.
I was like, man, what's going on with Jacob Phillips?
So, I mean, I legit forgot about him.
I mean, I just tried to like look stuff up on Twitter. He's not even verified on Twitter.
There's nothing. Somebody in our Patreon looked it up. And they were like, hey, you know, we think that there's some news coming. Hopefully he's coming back. Everything's like.
No.
July, September, you know, like it's like, oh. Right.
Nobody's talked about it.
Yeah, that was 2 months ago.
It's just something different.
Sounds like the Bay Harbor Butcher got him. Sorry, I've been watching a lot of Dexter.
Wow. It is a good show.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
Anything else you guys want to touch on about what went right? I know it seems kind of bad that we spent a lot of the episode that we won on a what went wrong, but I think everybody can kind of agree there's more to discuss as far as things we needed to improve on as opposed to things we did well in that game. Sometimes you just kind of get lucky and play an inferior team at the right time.
Well, and it helped that Jared Goff wasn't out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If Jared Goff plays, do we win?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I really don't know.
Dude, all they needed was 4 more points to beat us.
I don't know,
and I don't really care at this
point.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
We're moving on. We're going to win.
Hey, just saying, somehow we win this next game.
7-5.
7-5.
7-5. That's all I'm holding on hope for right now, brother. You don't even understand. I'm with you on that.
Defense played well again, and other than they've been up and down. If I call me weird, I want Lamar to play next week.
I want
him to play because I want to see if Joe Woods has any idea how to stop him.
We're going to find out.
So we're going to find out.
Hey, I just want to win. So that means Huntley's got to suit up.
We'll do that too.
I got more faith in us winning against Tyler Huntley or whatever.
I don't know. Israel. I don't
Tyler
know.
Huntley than I do in Joe Woods stopping Lamar Jackson.
I just want to see it. All right, we'll go ahead and wrap this thing up. Thanks for checking out another episode. Browns got a win, as ugly as it was. We're sitting 6-5. Season's still alive. So thanks for being here with us and gutting it through this topsy-turvy season. I know it's been kind of up and down. Some weeks it's awesome, and other weeks we come on here and it's hard not to just cry to you guys. Make sure you guys check us out. I think the episode's going to come out. So this one's a day late, so we're going to release this, what, Thursday night now?
This one? Tonight.
Or this one's tonight. Make sure you check us out, man, on the next one. What's the next one going to come out? I'm sorry.
Thanksgiving.
So Thanksgiving. Ooh, so hopefully you guys...
some turkey.
Yeah. Yep.
Listen to the dogs give their preview.
Yeah. Fall asleep.
Yeah. So have a good good holiday. Hopefully you guys all have a good Thanksgiving. If you're a Dog Pack member, make sure you check out the After Hours show. It's going to be a good one today. And for everybody else, we'll see you guys on Thanksgiving.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast, and become an official Dog Pack member and join the dogs.com. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.